This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I like having fun. Yeah. I like to laugh. Yeah. I like to meet people who can make me laugh.
Come on!
I like having fun. Yes, I like you to laugh. Yeah. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Live from Glendale, California, it's Office Hours Live, starring Tim Heidecker, Vic Berger, DJ Doug Pah! Wake up, Doug. Come on now. You're on camera, Bubba.
Come on, push. Oh,
wow. You look so sullen. With producer Matt and engineer Wesley and your Zooms. This morning's guests are Stephen Draz from the Flaming Lips, Dr. Gregor, and Mikey Campen. And of course, your Zoomaroos. Welcome to the show, everybody. Here's your host. And here's your host, Tim Heidecker. Everybody. Whoa. Awesome. How cool is this, everybody? Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the Office Hours community. It is Thursday, October. Give it to me, guys. I don't have any clue. 15th?
31 kilos.
Yes. Right on the money.
It is right in the middle of the month. We got a couple weeks to go until the big presidential election here in the United States of America. There's lots of news to cover, lots of topics to discuss. I'm happy to be here. Doug, how are you doing this morning?
Right. That's right.
Oh, I'm doing great, Tim. I'm excited about the show today. I have all my drops together, and
somebody has their drops in falling out of their pockets.
That'd be me.
Yikes!
Wow.
Doug, you're geared up with the Dr. Gregor NutritionalFacts.org swag.
NutritionFacts.org.
All over the place, but you're a big supporter. Dr. Gregor's going to talk about the healthy lifestyle. Eating right.
I think that's just crazy.
It is crazy. And Vic, hey. You're not really supporting anybody today.
Not really, no. Even my mug is a letdown today. It's just a blank mug.
It's a Zach brand mug.
Zach Morris.
Zach Braff.
Zach Braff. He's paying me to drink out of this cup today.
Fuck, man.
Let's get to the big news. Matt, we're going to go this at the top. Big stuff to announce real quick. If you are a patron member, patron.com/officehourslive, you know this already. You've got today's news yesterday is like what we like to say. The Tim Heidecker
bad the bone.
What is that about? who bad the boned me?
I did. I was trying to get the big.
Big very nice. You got the drum roll and the trumpets.
And the timpani. Yeah.
And the timpani. Just start stacking this. Next Friday, Matt, the date is October 23rd. 9 p.m. Pacific. Sorry, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Civic. Sikic. 6 p.m. Specific. We have the world premiere of An Evening with Tim Heidecker. It is the long-awaited hour-long stand-up special that you have been craving, that you've been creaming for. Men and women alike, all genders, are creaming in different ways for this really one-of-a-kind unique special. It will air on my channel right here, so make sure you subscribe so you get info. I'll be there in the chat. Maybe I'll do a little live introduction. That could be fun to do, a little live introduction, maybe even a Q&A afterwards. We don't know. What could there be a question about? Here's what we're going to do right now, though. We are going to, the first time ever, we're going to air the trailer so you can get a taste. You can get warmed up, get your sacks full of anticipation.
Our sacks.
Oh, yeah. God.
Your testicle sacks. Get them full of
tingling.
Semen. How about semen and cement being so close in language sound?
My
semen. We use cement. We use semen.
I had a beat off.
Oh, dear. All right. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. World premiere, An Evening with Tim Heidecker official trailer. Let's run that, and we'll get on with the show.
My name is Tim Heidecker. I'm a comedian. Are you happy? Are we happy to be here tonight? I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. It's a blank slate in front of me.
I'm Jake Nicholson.
Finally got a chance to hear the music of Keith Urban. I thought to myself, gee, this guy might want to change his name to Keith Rural. We broke the sprouts and this and that and This is storytelling. This is Cosby comedy. It's going to require a little bit of your attention.
That's what you gotta do, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Let's watch it together after the, if you can't make it Friday, it will be available everywhere in a short order. We're working with the great people at 800 Pound Gorilla, who are a big...
I have a boner.
Big time comedy distributors, and they're going to be sending this thing far and wide. They're going to be watching it in the Alaska, deep into the Alaska wilderness.
I'm excited to see this.
Doug opened up for me on that at that special.
Is he in this crowd?
He is in it at the end.
Oh.
There's a little bit of Doug at the end.
I got food poisoning that night.
You did?
Doug.
From?
But I powered through and I did the show.
Oh, you had it like during the show?
Well, I think I got sick like the next day. I think I was fine during the show.
Another road mushroom that you found?
Definitely. Definitely during the next day I was like... That's my memory of that show is like how sick I got the next day.
I have knock on every piece of wood I can get. I've not had the food poisoning or the stomach flu in years, a few years, several years. When I get it bad, and it's hell. It's just pure hell, as we all know. It is for everybody. There's nobody that enjoys that experience. Let's get to the city of the day because, again, we have such a packed show. We'll take some Zooms and we'll talk to Skinner. I forgot to mention Skinner, the beautiful artist Skinner. City of the day today is brought to you by Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky, do you have a dumb dog that yaps and yaps like some idiot? Well, now there's Noam Chomsky, the chew toy inspired by famous philosopher Noam Chomsky. These American-made toys come with built-in pressure-activated speakers that play readings from various Chomsky books. Is this the sound of the chew toy?
Research.
Yeah.
The development for vaccines and drugs anyway before.
So your dog will become sedated with every chomp. Your neighbor will thank you, and your guests will be impressed by how boring your dog is. The most interesting part, these toys are shaped like Noam Chomsky's head.
Office 40 years ago, government is the problem, not the solution.
And that really just sedates your yappy dog, right?
Says, meaning that
Rick is loving it.
Decisions have to be.
Need some help getting your doggy to settle down and go to sleep for the night at a reasonable hour? Try the new Howard's Inn plugin featuring a reading of the complete unabridged people's history of the United States, and it'll be lights out for your pooch in mere minutes.
George
Order now.
Washington.
And let's hear another sample from the nom 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 Chomsky.
Federal government in the United States does what? That doesn't mean that nothing could be done.
Where's the crickets?
Many efforts despite these impediments.
Order now and get the Vin Diesel pack free, guaranteed to sedate the highest of
stroke. I had a GSXR. I used to do 160 miles an hour on the turnpike.
What's this?
This is the Vin Diesel
on a motorcycle,
power pack.
So once you do that, the speed in a car is never that harrowing.
On a motorcycle, so once you do that, the speed in a car is never that harrowing. I used to do 160 miles an hour on the turnpike.
He sounds like Hal when Dave is deprogramming him.
I used to do 160 miles an hour on the turnpike. So once you do that, the speed in a car is never that harrowing.
Well, I would like to quickly take a Zoom call just to say good morning to everybody and thank them for being here.
Well, before
what?
We do that,
oh, city of the day.
Have a city of the day prediction.
Oh, yeah. City of the day.
Already,
I really don't.
Cracker.
Do we? By the way, the theme song this morning is, I don't know if anybody noticed this, is a remix, a re-recording, a new version of "I Like Having Fun," given to us by the great Daniel Cupps. And the great Ben Levin collaborated on that.
Beautiful work, guys.
Based on my original composition. the city of the day is... Oh, so you want him to guess it?
Well, he might have cracked it.
Well...
Charlie, are you there?
Is my son?
Charlie L., are you
what
talking?
What in the world?
Yes, can you hear me? No?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Charlie,
okay, cool.
do you have a guess?
I do.
And what's your confidence level at?
It's like 92%.
Wow. Yeah.
Unless Matt has done something really, really sneaky, I think I've got it.
92% accuracy begins now.
Is it Poznan, Poland?
Say it again.
Poznan, Poland.
One more time.
Poznan, Poland.
You are correct. The city of the day is Poznan, Poland. What is the code? What is the code, friend?
The code is... I Googled these cities that had already been listed.
Mm. I don't want the process.
Up.
I want the...
All right. There's not much of a code. There's the article of the cities in the world with the worst traffic. And,
say it again, because there's a tremendous amount of clapping going on. And
also, I don't appreciate him saying it's not much of a code.
No. It's great. It's a great code. But on this list of 50, Athens was number 30, and then Kharkiv, Ukraine, was 29. Salvador, Brazil, 28.
Can I interrupt and explain it in a more succinct fashion,
yes.
Tim?
It's the cities with the
worst traffic in the world.
In descending
an international
order?
City.
In descending order.
Yeah, counting from 30 down.
Does, yes.
That's it.
And does that include the United States?
Yeah, none in the top 30, I don't think.
Oh, really?
I forget. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that.
Oh, my God. Well, congratulations to you. You win. Give me that shirt.
You win a small shirt,
we have one left.
Excellent.
Size small.
Thank
give
you.
It to your
perfect
13-year-old okay. son or
all right.
your petite wife.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Sefe.
But DM me and we'll get you that prize.
Oh. Right.
Thank you.
What prize does he
get? Congratulations. I usually give them, you know, a shirt or a mug, whatever they want.
Now, to just a standard Zoomer. Let me hear a standard Zoomer.
Standard Zoomer. Okay, who's got something today? Sorry, I was so focused on this other stuff. Jacob K., you got something?
In your coveralls, Jacob?
Sefa Hyde.
You got a bone to pick with me?
I think all the... trolls are just in the YouTube chat
today. I know. Is Von Thompson in there?
Oh, we have a protester.
You know, I'm not
snuffing
sure.
them out.
I haven't seen her. I think this is the one day she called in sick.
Oh, how about this? We welcome you trolls who are chatting.
Drive up the view count.
We encourage you to send it around. Tell me all the things, the way you feel about me. Don't hold back.
Oh, I got somebody who wants to yell at you. Caesar, come yell at us.
Tim.
I feel like I don't want you guys to feel restricted in your free speech. I want you to express yourself. If you believe I'm a Jewish faggot, I want you to be able to feel free to say it. I mean, I should be so lucky.
Caesar F is yelling in the Zoom chat, but he won't unmute. Oh, is it? There you are. Caesar, are you there?
People have been calling me that. The JF.
Oh, here's Caesar.
Why do you get comedians that are funnier than you blacklisted?
Oh, is this...
Here's a troll. We got one.
Is this Can't Nick? Even put your camera on, man.
Is this not a Nick, troll.
Is this Nick Fuentes?
It's the great Nick Fuentes.
Nick, welcome to the show. I've seen your show with a giant pumpkin on it. It's an embarrassing decision.
It's better than anything that you put out.
How do
is
you
that,
mean?
Wait, is Nick the guy that picked his nose and
so,
ate it?
Yeah. So wait mad. A minute. The fake news show that Nick Fuentes does with a giant pumpkin is better than anything I've ever put out?
Yes, anything that you've put out on Adult Swim, that Sam Hyde, anything that anyone has put out is better than you.
Okay. you're free to express that opinion on my show because I believe in free speech. I believe in your right as a YouTuber
Can't
to do whatever
say
you want.
What they think and build that wall.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to add?
But you obviously you don't if you get other comedians banned from Adult Swim.
How do I do that? Can you go walk me through the process by which I have people banned? Could you have evidence? Do you have anything to say that makes any sense?
You didn't get Sam Hyde and MDE off the air.
No! I should have been so lucky. You're a fucking stooge! Why don't you get a life? What brings you happiness? What is something in your life that you enjoy to do?
1, 2, 3.
Nothing.
No, that's the problem, dude.
Is he saying he loves your new hit single, Nothing? That brings him joy?
You like my new song?
Should we play it?
Listen, friend. I wish you no animus as much as you wish animus upon me. But I kind of am tempted to reach out to you privately. Because I'm worried that you are telling the truth. I may be lying. I lie all the time.
I love talking about bowel movements.
But... I'm concerned that there truly is nothing in your life that brings you any kind of happiness or joy. And that's sad. And it's not good for you. It's not good for your community.
I guess watching Baked Alaska stream gave me some joy.
Why
watching
though?
MDE
Let me ask
some,
you why. What about
why?
What he does
because of good
going
content.
Around? What's good content about going? Did you watch the guy in... in New Zealand, who went around shooting people, that live stream? Is that your bag? Is that your scene?
I've seen that live stream.
Are you a Boogaloo boy?
That was not my scene. I've seen it, but...
So you enjoy watching people going around and causing physical harm towards other people? That turns you on?
No, I said I saw it, and I said I didn't enjoy it, so where did you get that from me?
Well, so you watched the Baked Alaska stream where he goes into that 7-Eleven and calls that poor woman, you know, a fat bitch and ugly and all this terrible stuff. You enjoy that? That gives you joy to watch that? I'm asking you honestly.
Yeah, it was funny. It was
what's funny about it? And forget.
It's not about. Yeah,
it's not about funny.
What's funny? What's
funny? It's funny.
Yeah, forget the relativism. Forget the relativism. What's better than me or somebody's more popular than me?
It's a private business, and if they say you have to wear a mask, you have to wear a mask.
But I'm talking to you.
Excuse me?
Who's this?
Vic can talk to whoever he wants, friend. You've called into my show. I'm giving you the grace.
You don't even have your camera on.
I'm giving you the grace and the opportunity to speak with me on my show, but you don't set the rules about who talks to you. If you don't want to have this conversation, you can leave. You can hang up on Zoom.
I didn't say that he couldn't talk to me. I just said I'm talking to you.
You are talking to me. And I'm asking you, and I got the answer, so I can move on.
I wasn't addressing Vic.
Watching Baked Alaska go around and harass people... and demean them and break the law is something that brings you joy.
Oh,
is he hung
clever.
Up?
Hey, can I ask you, like, why? Well, we know why he. Why did he get banned from YouTube? What was his ban about? Do you know?
Will you answer Vic's question
was
or not?
Specifically for that clip?
No, it's not.
No, it was because he.
Talking right now.
It was because he harassed a random dude at an ice cream shop. At a donut shop. His friends maced the dude, and then they hit him with his car, and then they drove away. And that is why he was banned, because violence is not allowed on YouTube.
Oh, that sounds hilarious.
It is a funny joke.
Why do you think
you guys are full of shit.
Yeah, you are full of shit. And the people you listen to and the people that tell you how these things go.
You just posted a clip of him yelling at clerks at 7-Eleven.
That's right.
Yeah.
I posted that because I was, you know, disturbed by it. And I, as a user of YouTube, as somebody that uses YouTube to communicate with my audience, to show things, I felt, you know, as a man, as a personal, not as a celebrity or not as somebody who's got any kind of animus towards him as a comedian, as a guy, I felt disturbed and upset by the way YouTube was allowing him to go around and harass people and possibly threaten them. And I just expressed my opinion in one tweet and asking the question, why is YouTube allow this? Now, later that day, Or is that later that night, but then it came out later that the next day that we see that he's out there in L.A. going around and macing this guy, or he's with people. It's not him doing it. Mm-hmm. I get the story right. I don't make up things. I don't exaggerate things, much like the Boogaloo Boys and everybody right. else that's been talking about how I led some kind of campaign, did not lead some kind of campaign. What I tweeted had no impact on whether his channel remained on or not. So I'm asking you, why do you just buy into the company line that's being told to you on all these channels through all these trolls? Why do you listen? Why don't you ever think about how the real world works? Why do you just take for granted what these disinformation agents enjoy doing? And if you can answer that quickly, because I have to move on.
Yeah, we got Skinner on the horn.
Thank you, Tim.
What's your answer to that, though?
Yeah, last point. There's a pattern here, and the pattern is that you were accused of getting Sam Hyde and MDE off Adult Swim.
I was accused years ago.
Right? Tim, you should discuss that. Like how
you're also passionate about it. You're also passionate about...
go ahead.
You're also passionate about how, you know, you weren't supportive of Sam Hyde's content.
Who cares what I'm supportive of? First of all, it's a 4-year-old.
It's clear that there's a colleague of yours on the same network.
Not a colleague, believe me. No colleague of mine.
So you have a vested.
No colleague of mine. And
he would be a colleague, or he would a coworker or a co-contracted employee of Adult Swim, whatever.
I don't see that. Right? I don't
you
see
have
it
a vested
that way.
Interest of being more successful than him on that network.
That is such. I'm just right? telling you.
You're the puppet master, Tim.
Just telling you. And I don't know how many times I'm going to keep telling you. I would actually happily.
Not the puppet master. He's an influential actor.
All right, we got to get to Skinner.
Hold on, Matt. I would sincerely be interested in talking to you off the air if you're interested, because I will talk to you all day about this subject. I mean, not all day, but I will spend. I would anyway. Happily spend valuable time walking you through how the real world works and how all of this makes sense to me.
Goodbye.
And if you think I have some kind of puppeteering control over what goes on the air and what doesn't go on the air, then I would ask why I can't even get a second day of shooting to do another season of On Cinema.
We all can grow and we all can learn.
Why can't I get another season of On Cinema? Why can't I get the things I want to do on the air whenever I want? You don't have an answer for that.
Well,
that's okay.
Maybe they finally realize that you suck.
They finally realized that somebody walked in. Hey, Brad, can I bother you for a minute? I just kind of went back and looked at all this Heidecker shit. You know what? It actually sucks.
Cut the tape.
That doesn't check out.
They looked at the ratings and they saw.
Okay, we're keeping Skinner waiting.
All right. Listen,
I want to send peace and love to you. I do feel bad for you that the content that you're watching is something you enjoy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a sign of some other issues going on in your life, and I'm not saying that to be judgmental. I would happily talk to you privately about this situation. I think you've been given bad information, and I only want the best for people. I hope there's some growth that you can find, and I'm happy to.
Fuck this.
I'm happy to entertain you however I can. Skinner.
Is that Skinner?
Fuck that
Skinner's
scumbag.
On the line.
You fucking scumbag.
There you go. I don't listen.
I'm back again.
Are you ready for Halloween?
Hey, dude, I'm ready. You know what? You know what's so funny is that guy leads in with the, every person who ever did anything is funnier than you. Anybody is everything is better than you. Okay.
I mean,
you know what?
He has a right to that opinion. I don't care. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people that feel that way. Whatever.
Yeah, you know what? But the crazy thing is, like, this sort of, like, creepy, fragile guy, nihilistic humor shit that goes with, like, it's like, yeah, man, we like to terrorize people and fuck with the SJWs and shit. And then, like, literally the one moment there's any accountability to be had. Any pushback.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh man, fuck you. You got me canceled. You fucking, you know, it's like, well then stop smacing innocent people on the street and celebrating that things suck and have fun, you little scumbag.
Well, also, and I'll just move on from this after this point. But
yeah, let's move on.
But wait, listen, looky right now, on this show that we're doing live, I'm engaging in a agreement and in a relationship with a giant multinational, super corrupt, horrible company called YouTube, right? Like,
yeah.
There's plenty of things wrong with them. And I did totally. The same thing when it comes to Adult Swim or whatever network I'm dealing with. There is a giant corporation that really only cares about selling Axe body spray or Chevy trucks. that's really what it's about. I understand that. Right. Most people understand that. And so if you want to do what you do, if I want to continue to make things and have a life where I can, you know, afford to do this and not try to just do it on my weekends, there is a compromise you make to work with these corporations. And it's a little, you play a little bit of a game. You sacrifice maybe, you know, a little bit of your integrity if you have to do what, to, for the greater goal of to sort of make the kind of stuff you want to make. Now, all these guys out there who are getting into trouble because they think that they have this sort of, you know, this God-given right to do whatever they want, including physically harm people and intimidate people and break the law, and it should all be laissez-faire, allowed to proceed. They seem to not understand that side of it, that you have to, I'm sorry to be the fucking downer and the fucking class monitor snitch or whatever you want to fucking call me. I don't give a shit. I'm just honest about how the real world works. And if you want to sell your shit and get paid by the fucking Axe body spray people, which is what we essentially do when we go into a deal with any network that sells advertising.
Wow.
Then you have to fucking play by a couple of base rules. Is that so hard to understand for these people?
Joe Rogan's playing by the rules now. He's doing Spotify. He's self-censoring.
There you go.
There you go.
And, you know, if that's what
Joe Rogan is a sellout scumbag. Yeah, he's been
deleting his episodes
and
stuff with all the most hateful people.
There's nothing stopping Baked Alaska from roaming around and causing havoc and trouble and filming it on his phone and putting it up on bakedalaska.com.
Oh, God, I missed the toilet.
You know what I mean? Like, just go ahead.
You know what's so crazy is that, like, I remember getting trolls and having people who are like, you know, I tell people, hey, look, you can have the First Amendment right. Like, you can say whatever you want, but, like, there are always going to be consequences if, like, what you're saying is sort of like has inherent violence or oppression or like, I don't know, judgmental kind of hate innately involved in it. So, because before the internet, you would just get your ass kicked. And then all of a sudden, and it was like, I remember that. You know, it's like, hey, this guy is being creepy to some girl that he works with. And then her brother shows up and whoops that dude's ass or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but now it's like, you go online and you're like, hey, what's up, you fucking Jew piece of shit? You know? And it's just like, man, like, that's just some kid who is getting a little dopamine hit out of, like, hee, I'm a little mischief bitch. Well, you know, like,
and then you have these other guys that love it because their life,
that dude on the
sucks
phone
somehow
just said that's good content, and that just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, and you're right, there's that. We would like to find out more about that guy. What happened to his life where he thinks that's,
let's help,
like,
him.
Okay.
Right. That's what I can't tell you how sincere I am. I told the guys before the show, we have to figure out a way. I don't want to put out my cell phone number because you know what that means, but I do want to work a system where I can have a number and we can have a conversation, I would be happy to talk to these people and say, A, here's where I'm coming from. B, where are you at? And how can, like, where, how can you find joy in things that don't involve a guy going around and just being absolutely disgusting and horrible to that poor woman working at the 7-Eleven? And I'm sorry that I get emotionally involved in all that. I was talking to my dad, and he's like, is there any way you can kind of, you know, extract yourself from this whole situation? I go, as soon as I start thinking that, I start, like, sacrificing a little bit about what I believe in and my kind of, the code of, like, I just, you know, I'm a emotional, expressive person.
Empathic.
And empathetic.
Yes.
Empathetic.
Yeah. Because clearly there's a deeper problem underneath this shit. It's like there's some sort of, like, disconnect.
Yeah.
And some sort of, like, thing that, and it's lazy to be negative. It's like emotionally, intellectually lazy, and it's not a long-term thing, because the kinds of rewards that come from investing in relationships and growing things and caring about them and developing empathy and love and all this stuff is a long-term difficult goal that is fraught with many obstacles.
And I just want to also add, and because I can hear my voice sounding quite high-minded, better than you, but
sanctimonious.
I am not perfect. I have been, you know, disrespectful to people. My career is full of, you know, provocative stuff that might have not been super sensitive to the people on the other end. I don't think I would ever have gone as far as what you saw with the Baked Alaska shit. I don't think there's any evidence of that. Yelled at hecklers, or have I, you know, done pranks that were sort of, you know, pushing people a little bit? Of course. But the concern with
all can grow and we all can
there
learn.
You go. The concern with Baked Alaska is he's now his brand is now associated with making that caller that we had on there engaged more and watch more, and he has to ratchet things up. He's going to have to go out there and pull some fucking Clockwork Orange shit just to keep those people in the basement happy. He's like anybody else. He's got to deliver the goods. So, you know, I don't know. It's a complete mess.
What do you do with your alienation, though? It's like, you know, this culture clearly alienates the shit out of just everybody.
Sure.
So what are you going to do? Create art to dissect it and make fun of it and try to, like, extract the little moments of joy that you can and observe it all? Or are you going to just, like, get caught up in it and then just become a little dickhead,
a little keyboard soldier?
Yeah. What is that actually doing for your life at all? You know, in any way, like, go clean up go pick up trash at the river. Motherfucker, do something good.
Skinner, thank you for being the heavy today. I appreciate it.
I'm trying to.
I know. I get everybody worked up, and I want to also say we have to get to Dr. Greger. I want to say.
Yes, can you imagine what he's thinking, listening to this?
I want to say.
Oh, I love him. I checked him out. He's great.
I want to say one more. And I just want to say something positive that I've gotten a million DMs and messages from people saying how much, you know, they're like, we love you and thank you for what you do. And not just what I'm saying, but just, like, thank you for the art or the comedy or the music or whatever. So I want to thank those people. And I've been trying to get back to everybody, but
people like Tim,
there's been a lot of love. I don't come out there and say, like, hey, look at these messages I got, because I need that kind of, you know, reaction from people. I'm kind of letting sort of moderates and people say, you know that, like, this is not going anywhere. It seems to be getting even worse. And anyways, Skinner, we've sucked up all the time, but we want to just say that you've made this beautiful t-shirt and sweatshirts. Was it a t-shirt? Sweatshirt? I don't even know.
All kinds of stuff. A diaper.
Gotta make a diaper.
But I love what happens when artists like you take this, what we do here, and just go in a whole other direction. When we were doing Awesome Show, the great Duke Aber, who made all the DVD covers and the posters and stuff, they are so, they're actually very different than the aesthetic of the actual show. Like, they're very, they're their own little thing, but they're kind of reflective of the show. And that's what you've done here, is this art is so not my thing, right?
I know. I'm sorry.
But I love it. because it's so just it's because it's just it's great. It's just great quality.
Two worlds colliding.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm always inspired to know, and I'm so happy that there's our small audience is just filled with creative people like you.
Thanks, Tim. I really love that. I love you. I love all you guys. This is a great honor of my life.
Thank you.
To work with you guys. and I love you very much. And there's like actually a lot of great artists in your audience.
I know.
And that I know. So that you'll have relentless waves of new shirts and probably not many more demons.
We're just contributing to the giant landfill out there with our merch. Matt is so geared on merch. I said
you gotta
I can't
leave behind take, a big pile of shit.
Take me out of the merch conversation. I'm happy that it's out there, but
yeah, right. Take me out of it too. I gotta go, guys. I'm a big deal. I have things to do.
I hear you. thank you,
I know
Skinner.
Yes, I
can't
later.
Wait to see you in person one day. You're such a good, you've got such a good energy to you. I want to hug you and touch you and
kiss him on the lips.
I do
on the
too,
lips.
Tim. I love that. That makes me so happy. I love you guys. I want to hang out one day.
I love that people call me this gay this Jewish muscles. Guy. You know, I'm like, that's who I am. Like I should be so lucky. I would love to be a gay Jewish man. I would be
then
so
you'd
happy.
Be running Hollywood.
I would be so happy out there traipsing around in Brooklyn.
Shabbat shalom.
I'd be so happy.
Love you guys.
It can happen. You could.
It's just not who I am. It's not how I'm programmed.
Yeah, well, we'll reprogram you. Kind of like that when they program the gay out of you, we should make a camp where they program you to be gay.
Uh-huh. I love it.
And Jewish.
Hello and welcome. Or hi, my name's Cole.
My name's Andrew. We host a podcast called Podcast But Outside.
Cole Hirsch. We should say our full name.
Not necessary. We host a podcast called Podcast But Outside where Cole and I set up a table on the sidewalk and talk to strangers who are walking by.
We have a sign on our table that says, hi, be a guest on our podcast and we will pay
you
$1.
We are the only ethical podcast. We're the only podcast that pays. We have really interesting conversations with really fun folks.
Like who?
Like this guy.
My sister lives in Denver.
Oh, that was the whole thing?
Yeah.
You said really interesting conversations.
Denver's a totally different city. That's interesting.
If you don't live there, I guess.
Do you have a better one?
Better what? Example?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Play it.
Okay.
Do you want to be like Joe Biden them, have sex with animals?
Jesus Christ.
What?
That is not a good example of our show.
Why? Everyone's talking about Joe Biden.
Not like that. Why don't we play one that we know people will like?
Oh, like
Marilyn?
Okay.
And I was somebody else's wife for a while.
But the second one worked out.
Well, until he died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It turned out he had a double life.
Wow.
What was the second life?
He was a crack addict.
What? Wait, how do you hide that? Hold on. How do you hide?
I don't know. He was a nice old Jewish guy.
How did he get addicted to crack?
He started smoking it.
I know, but I'm just trying to, I know. That was a good clip.
Hey, thank you. So please subscribe to Podcast But Outside on YouTube and podcast apps.
And then have a good
time.
I'll get that. Let's get
a doctor's opinion on this.
Yeah, maybe Dr. Greger knows.
Maybe Dr. Greger
Dr.
has
Greger,
a method.
Thank you for joining us. I can't believe you came on a day like today when it's total mayhem here, sir.
I'm honored to be part of the mayhem.
Okay, good. Now, I don't want to even. We're going to fully move on. We're fully transitioning out of that. Are you walking?
Yeah. Sittings, prolonged sittings, no good for you.
So, are you walking in place or are you on a machine that does?
Oh, get a cheap treadmill at your local, a thrift store. Throw it under a table with some cheap plastic shelving. Have yourself a little treadmill desk.
Well,
and then you make everyone seasick.
I'm going to do it on my end. I'm just going to fake it so that the audience can, it's equilibrium. You know, we're not tilted one way or the other. So we're both walking.
Me
and Nick
got to
be on
like
bikes
doing.
Back here.
That's good.
You got to get us on those bikes, the stationary bikes.
Yeah.
Dr. Greger, welcome to our show. About a few months ago, I was sort of in the dark depths of the pandemic and I was eating too much and I was just being irresponsible. And we had a nutritionist or some guy, lightweight, some lightweight,
trainer, wasn't he, or something.
But he went on and on about sort of this high protein, low carb deal. And right away, and we were happy to hear from him, he's a really nice guy, but right away the red flags went up from the audience. Get Skinner out of here. And right away the red flags went up and they said, sir, you've got to check out Dr. Greger. Dr. Greger knows that this is not the right advice. So, sir, tell us your sort of your elevator pitch about eating right, eating healthy.
It's the good news that we have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity. The vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a plant-based diet and other healthy lifestyle behaviors.
There you go. So I got to stop this. I'm getting really sick. So you're an all plant-based diet guy.
It doesn't matter what you eat on your birthday, holiday, special occasions. It's the day-to-day stuff that really adds up. But on a day-to-day basis, we really should try to eat healthy, which is centering our diets around real food that grows out of the ground, around whole plant foods.
Yes, and I've been pretty good, but I have to say, what happens with me, and I'm being honest to everybody here, I only speak truth, is I do slide a little bit. I get lazy. This is the thing. I get really into it. I get fully strict about it, and then I slide a little bit. What do you tell people who start sliding?
You just get back up the next day.
Try it again.
It's like anything else in life, right? I mean, these foods, like the processed foods, they have the so-called taste engineers,
right,
who sit around all day just try to make sure you can't eat just one. I mean, they are using your own inherent biological drives against you, your taste for salt, sugar, fat, etc. I mean, there's this science of keeping you hooked. And so you just gotta, forgive yourself and, think the long game.
What about salt? Because I love nuts and I love, there's a sample for you guys. I love nuts. I am nuts, but I love, cashews or almonds or peanuts, but they really need some salt on them. Can regular good old salt, how bad is that for you? Because I do suffer from high blood pressure too. I wonder why. But what is, because salt seems so benign to me when you think it on a granular level, no pun intended.
It's excess sodium is the number one dietary risk factor for death on the planet Earth. According to the Global Burden of Disease study funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the largest study of disease risk factors in history, the number one worst thing about the human diet, is it soda? Is it,
right,
cheeseburgers? No. Excess sodium. That's number one. Number two is inadequate whole grain consumption. Number three is inadequate fruit consumption. Number four is inadequate nut consumption. Number five is inadequate vegetable consumption. Those are the top five deadliest things about the human diet. Four of those is not eating enough whole plant foods. But number one on the list, excess sodium, because not only does it increase your risk of high blood pressure, heart disease, but also kidney damage and stroke risk, on down the list. The good news is that once you decrease your salt intake, for the first few days, everything tastes like cardboard, and you just can't imagine a life like it.
Right.
A future without salt. But then an amazing thing happens. Your taste buds only last about 21 days, and they're constantly regenerating, renewing. And you change your palate. You do all these studies where you have people salt soup to taste, put them on a low salt diet. And a few weeks later, the soup they originally liked is too salty. They actually prefer lower salt soup. So eventually you get to a point where you have the best of both worlds. Tastes fantastic. And it's not going to end up killing you and stroking you out.
So you just got to stick to it and let this process happen. So like something like these roasted and salted almonds, which I might just go through a bag in a couple of days, right? That is way too much salt, you're thinking.
Way too much salt.
Fuck!
We really want to try to stay under 1,500 milligrams a day. And to do that, it's basically not eating anything in a bag or a box, any kind of processed food, because they add salt because they know. I mean, we have this. I mean, there weren't salt shakers in KFC on the African savannah.
Right.
We have this need, this inherent craving for salt because we evolved for millions of years with no salt around, but now the food industry uses that against us, uses those natural biological drives to tempt us, but it's killing people.
Is there a difference in the way to think about salt between what we do to flavor and what is used in processed foods to keep it,
It's all flavor. It's all flavor. It's so all flavor. The reason they add salt to canned beans or something, people think, oh, it's preservative. It's not a preservative. That's what cans are for. Cans are sterile. You don't need, I mean, that's the whole point of canning foods.
Right.
They add salt as a flavor enhancer.
Okay.
I mean, strictly, that's it. They know you'll buy more, you'll eat more, they'll make more money if, but again, and the same thing happens with cutting down sugar, cutting down fat. I mean, the ripest peach in the world is going to taste sour after a bowl of Fruit Loops, but give it a while. If you give it a few weeks, all of a sudden, something like, you know, corn on the cob, no butter, no salt, is actually delicious. You really, I mean, people right. see me something, eat something simple like, you know, a microwave sweet potato with a little cinnamon or something. They look at me as like I'm some aesthetic monk or something. It's like, oh, it's great you can eat like that, but, you know, I could never do that.
Right.
But they don't realize, no, it actually tastes delicious, like craveably good to me, right. but only because my palate hasn't been deadened by these hyper palatable, you know, hyper sweet, hyper fat, hyper salty foods.
All right, let's Doug. Do you have a question?
Sure, I have a few questions.
Doug is a Dr. Greger Stan.
Dr. Greger, I'm a big fan.
He is the awesome. President of Dr. Greger Stan.
I read your book, How Not to Die. I bought it for my mom. I don't think she read it, but anyway,
he doesn't care as long as you bought the book.
What do you say to people that? Say that humans evolved to eat meat and we need it in our diet.
Beef.
Okay, so those are two very different things, right? I mean, so when we evolve, the critical thing is we need to reach reproductive age. And the way we do that is we get calories from any source. I mean, so we evolved in a context of scarcity. So concentrated, that's why we have this craving for high calorie density foods, really concentrated source of calories like donuts, etc. Well, kind of the Paleolithic version of that was things like bone marrow and brains, anything we could scavenge. And so we have a craving for that. And all we had to do is reach reproductive age, pass along the genes, and then croak in our 20s. They didn't have to worry about these chronic degenerative diseases like heart disease and diabetes and obesity and things that unfortunately are accelerated by excess consumption of these animal products.
One last question and then I have to let you go.
I got another question too.
Do okay. you like hot fudge sundaes?
I'll ask a question and then we'll turn to Doug for the final question.
Okay. Hold on. All right.
What do you do with kids? Because I have kids and obviously, you know, it's already hard enough with what's going on with the pandemic and eating, you know, this daily, like, oh, what should we put in front of their face? Obviously they're like picky. It's got to be super important to start this sort of thinking pretty early.
Well, I mean, what's remarkable, these reversal studies where a plant-based diet reversing some of the leading killers, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure. Most of these studies were started in people in their 50s, 60s. Maybe. So they're eating crap their entire lives.
Right.
And then all of a sudden can open up arteries without drugs, without surgery, cure their high blood pressure, diabetes. So it's never too late to start eating healthy, stop smoking, start exercising, etc. But yes, obviously, earlier the better. We have tragic autopsy studies on accident victims, and that the average 12-year-old already has what are called fatty streaks, which are the first stages of atherosclerosis, heart disease, number one killer of men and women already, 100% of arteries in kids eating the standard American diet by age 12. So the Wow. earlier we can get people eating healthier, the better. And this is the time. I mean, during the pandemic, no longer are they getting cupcake birthday celebrations every day. We have now kind of total control over our family's food supply. I mean,
right.
what comes in the house.
Right.
And so we're no longer, you know, tempted by the donut shop or the Starbucks or whatever. And so we can, if all you have in the house is healthy food, people will eat healthy food. I mean, eventually you'll get hungry enough, you'll eat that apple. I mean, right. if that's the best thing you got, you're going to eat that apple. But if there's apple and cookies, the apple's just going to get all moldy in the fridge.
What if you, you're telling me Nick Fuentes is in the chat. We can put him, okay, I'll talk to him.
Yeah, next. But, I told him he has to wait until 10:50.
What about this, doctor? These seltzers. Are you pro, anti, or neutral on the...
What's
sparkling waters, like LaCroix.
Carbonated water.
Like the carbonated
yeah,
LaCroix, water.
Yeah, so that's zero. So that's zero sodium, zero calories, zero sugar. Go for it.
Thank you. Doug, your final
I mean, the
question.
Only thing you're doing is with that with the 60 cents or something that can cost, you could buy some kale. But
okay.
That's the only, like the opportunity cost.
There's
is
something
all that
like it, cra- you know, it satisfies some kind of craving, the crispness, the colding. Good. The colding. All right, Doug,
okay,
your final
quick,
question.
Quick question. Some haters try to say that beans are bad for you because they have anti-nutrients called lectins, which is a whole... I don't want to open a big can of worms here, but what do you say to people that say that beans...
Open a big can of beans instead, right? No, so there's a... this guy named Gundry wrote a book called Plant Paradox.
Gumby?
Arguing that there's these evil lectins in healthy foods like beans and tomatoes and lentils and things. But I have a bunch of videos on the website, nutritionfacts.org, where I go through point by point. Actually, lectins may actually be beneficial for you. And the bad lectins are utterly destroyed by proper cooking. You can't even eat a dried bean if you wanted. You have to cook it. By the time you can smush it with a fork, all the lectins, the bad lectins are gone. And one of the healthiest foods, most concentrated source of fiber, important for your good gut bacteria. I encourage people to eat legumes, beans, split peas, chickpeas, lentils every single day.
Dr. Greger, it is an honor to have you on the show. I hope our audience has found it enlightening. Nutritionfacts.org is a great resource. And the app is great. You got the Daily Dozen where you can sort of try to check off your basic. I was doing that for a little bit, and it's actually kind of, you have to eat quite a bit to sort of check everything off there. It's like a lot of food. So if you like eating, check out the Daily Dozen, Nutrition Facts. Nutrition Facts. I always feel like I'm getting that wrong.
Doug, thank you for the shirts, Dr. Greger.
Thank you for the shirts and the books. Thank you for your... thank you for taking on this cause. I think it's a beautiful thing what you're doing. You're a true prophet of the 21st century.
So, happy to help.
God bless you.
Keep up the good work.
If you're into that shit.
Great American food.
All right. Do we have Nick Fuentes? What's his deal, Vic?
Oh, well, let him explain it.
I don't know. He's probably not going to come.
No, he's here.
He's got his MAGA hat and everything. He's been calling people fags in the chat. He's,
Jeremy?
You know, he's ready to go.
Hello?
Nick, are you smaller or taller than Ben Shapiro? Give us the straight. What's your full height, weight?
Spit in my mouth.
What's the deal with the pumpkin on your show that you made it so giant to make you look even smaller than you actually are?
Was that
a good idea or a bad idea?
Actually, a joke. You probably wouldn't understand. You're not.
I don't get. Why do you care if I'm funny or not? Why does it matter? What is the relativity of humor have to do with anything in the world right now? Obviously, there's things that I don't think are funny. Did you watch the new Adam Sandler movie, Hubie Halloween?
No, I don't watch that. I don't watch Adam Sandler.
Okay, I didn't find that funny. I tried watching it, but I'm not going around making it a big part of my personality about whether or not I like Adam Sandler.
Aren't you a comedian?
Yeah, I'm a successful comedian. I've been doing it for 15 years.
You have 2,000 viewers. Huh? I have 10,000 viewers. I'm 22. How old are you?
You have 10,000 viewers on your... Because my audience are actually productive people. are productive people who don't have time to sit around and watch this stupid live stream. They watch and listen at home. They watch later.
Let the viewers and the money do the talking, but you're highly successful.
I've been very successful. I've had tremendous success on television, which is a much broader, much bigger, more profitable way to go about expressing yourself.
Like 2008? That was funny in 2008.
You missed the announcement that I have a new... Excuse me. You missed the announcement. I have a new show coming on Showtime starting November 8th called Moonbase 8. That's Showtime. Cool. It's a paid service. Your audience won't be able to afford
I'm
it.
Like Dylan.
But... starring John C. Reilly and Fred Armisen. That will be running November 8th. So I continue to get tremendous work from the...
Showtime? I think my parents have a Showtime subscription. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask.
Well, when you come up from the basement to watch in their living room, you can check it out.
I will. When I come up from the basement, I will ask them if they have Showtime.
He laughed. He thinks you're funny.
You got to think I'm funny, buddy. You've got to be amused by me. You've got to be impressed with my wit.
It's actually funny. That's actually what I do.
You do, yeah. So where's all the hate coming from, Nick? Why can't you just be it seems like your side has won. Now, I don't know who's going to win the presidential election. It doesn't look good for Donald Trump. But you guys can't seem to be satisfied with anything. When are you going to admit that you've already won, but nothing's gotten better for your audience? You're a propagandist.
Dead. Dead,
and the
dead.
Audience, your audience, their lives haven't improved.
The wall's still not built for some reason.
You don't even know who my audience is. Who are you talking
I know,
about?
Believe me, I know who your audience is. I don't know what they look like because they hide behind these ridiculous anime Pepe.
Well, yeah, because if they show faces, you would tattle on them to their employers like you did to Baked Alaska. You go on Twitter and you tag their employer and say, oh, yeah, this person is anti-Semitic. Could you fire them from their job?
I didn't say that. Why don't you tell me? Why don't you tell your audience? Why don't you tell your audience what I actually said instead of hyperbolizing it?
What you actually tweet about? You tagged YouTube and YouTube
community. Doug, you are not happy.
You said
this. I heard a big sigh.
Oh, that was me. That was me.
Oh, that was you. I'm sorry.
I'm just bored with this dude.
Right?
Why even give this guy attention? I mean,
I think the audience. It's like the audience.
No, it's
well,
the
audience. I have to fess up. I told that his fans talk. That if they raised $400 in the chat, we would put them on.
Well, no. You know what? I get accused of silencing people. I get accused of canceling people. I want you to understand, Nick, that I don't have that control because either.
Why did you tag YouTube then? If you weren't trying to get him kicked off YouTube, why did you tag YouTube and YouTube support on Twitter? You're a verified account.
Yeah.
You know they'll see it if you're a verified account. Why would you tag them if that wasn't your intention?
Oh, my intention is entirely to let people know that what I saw, the harassment of that woman, as a user of YouTube, as somebody that uses the platform, I said this earlier in the show, is something that I find disturbing.
Nick,
okay?
Did you say?
So,
Nick,
but did that have any effect on whether he was pulled? What about the macing? What about the macing?
Hitting
that
a guy
later?
With his car. Nick, I want to ask you: Baked Alaska is a runaway slave, and Tim and Vic are house N words chasing him down?
Yes, that is exactly how.
Why
it
did
is.
He delete it though? Why did he delete it then?
Yeah. Why did I delete it?
Is that cowardly?
No, probably because it would have.
Why
violated.
Did you say the Jews will not cancel the year of Baked Alaska? Why do you call us Jews? What is that
what
about?
What is the problem with being Jewish? With I'm not Jewish. Vic's odd. Not Jewish. Matt is.
You're acting in a subversive manner to oppress.
Yeah. Why don't you call us Jews now, then?
Yeah, call me a Jew.
Call Tim a Jew.
Call me a Jew, Nick.
Are you Jewish?
Huh?
Why are you asking now, though? Why don't you just call us that?
Yeah, what? First of all,
call us a Jew. It's an insult, right?
Why is it being Jewish an insult to you, Nick?
It's not an insult. That's just how you are. It's descriptive.
But you don't seem to have a high opinion of me. You think I'm doing something wrong. You don't agree with what I'm doing, and you associate that with Jewish behavior. What's that about? Well, why is it a derogatory term?
That's what those are Jewish organizations. Are you not familiar with that?
What are Jewish organizations? The ADL?
ADLC. Yeah. That is literally what they did it to me. The Zionist Organization of
Zionist.
America.
Hey, Nick, listen Nick, to you. Nick, you sound like the fucking John Birch Society. And all we try to do in a civil society is control that kind of rhetoric because it's all it is hurtful. All it is destructive. You're an agent of destruction, Nick. You're not contributing to the success or the prosperity of this country. You're making people incredibly stressed, making people incredibly uncomfortable and angry. You are not a person who is encouraging any kind of communion or growth.
Here's a quote from Nick. Enough with the Jim Crow stuff. Who cares? Oh, I had to drink out of a different water fountain. Big fucking deal. Oh, no.
You're
they had to
disgrace.
Go to a different school. And even if it was bad, who cares? It was better for them. It was better for us.
There you go. And you know
it's
what?
It's not worth engaging with losers like this.
Shame on you, Nick, because you were afforded every opportunity, I'm sure. You're a white, privileged little piece of shit. And you have taken this road
Mexican.
When you could have done it.
You're Mexican. Yeah, that's.
I'm a border Latino.
Of course you. You
good for
that.
You.
Yeah.
Good for you. God bless it.
Of course you are. Because you. Yeah.
God bless it. But you know what? You have chosen the wrong path, and you still have time because you're a young boy. I'm 45.
Right. Your life is ruined, by the way.
No, you can change the course of your life. You can put the pumpkins away. You know.
Nick, Nick, did you march at Charlottesville?
We're pounding you with the pumpkin. You're getting pounded.
Nick, did you march at Charlottesville?
Vic, go for it. Just go for it.
Did you march at Charlottesville?
Yeah.
What did you chant?
I didn't chant anything. The TV torch was on Friday. I came on Saturday.
You always like just kind of just tiptoe out of the thing.
I was there, but I didn't chant. You're a coward.
Why were you there?
What are you doing there?
I was that cowardly. These are the facts. The Tiki Torch march was on Friday. I got there on Saturday.
And
I was
why did you go?
Okay, so that you were there the day that a dude drove down a path and drove over people?
That happened currently with me being in the city of Charlottesville. I don't see
how did
that
it feel. How did it feel in your heart? How did it feel in your heart when that woman was run over by by you know, patriots of yours, compatriots of yours?
Well, not really compatriots. I didn't know who did it. I mean, how would you feel that a Black Lives Matter person drove over Trump supporters in L.A. last week?
Hey, how'd that Boogaloo boy do shooting the cop? Wasn't that one of your dudes?
Cops in Louisville. They shot two
Nick,
cops.
Nick, I don't want to. Okay. Nick, I got to talk to the Flaming Lips. But listen, yeah. man. I want to say you have time.
What do you think, Nick? What do you think of David Duke? Do you like David Duke?
Are you a David Duke head?
I've never met David Duke. I don't know David.
Baked Alaska.
You don't know
said
what are you
loves...
Trump? I don't know David Duke.
Baked Alaska told David Duke slime. That he loves David Duke.
Well, he helped him when he got maced in the eyes. I mean, you know, if somebody's helping you when you get maced, I think that's the polite thing to say.
Nick, my message to you is this: you're a good-looking guy. You're young. You've got a lot of charisma because you know, despite the booger eating we saw.
You're not
you know,
funny.
Which is disgusting. You have an opportunity to change the course of your life. You've got an audience. You can speak to that audience. Does it make you feel good when you have this audience that spends their time sending the most just disgraceful, disgusting,
yes.
hateful language?
Of course it
Why?
Does.
Where's that from?
Because he likes to upset
what?
People. There's something How wrong have you with, been, his, with his mind
have
and,
you
and
been
his upbringing.
Were you abused? Were you sexually abused? Were you physically abused?
I'm smarter than all of you put together.
How? But, but listen, Nick, a guy that says that is categorically not that because he just said it. What does that mean?
True.
What does that mean that you're smarter than all of us put together? Can you walk me through, dissect that?
You would know what it means.
Tim, he just got out of high school. This is the kind of thing that the kind of burns that the bullies use.
I want to give Nick a hug and say, listen,
Don't
man.
I'm not a pedophile like your partner, Eric Wareheim, or whatever.
Nick, which isn't true. We have been slandered by you, and one of these days it's going to go a little over the line, and you're going to get sued. Because you can't just go around calling people pedophiles with no evidence or no sort of justification for it. It's only used as a pejorative.
Evidence and justification. You and your crew are calling me all sorts of names.
Nick, what do you think about the Holocaust? Did it happen? Did the Holocaust happen?
Of course. I would never suggest otherwise. Of course it happened.
There's video of you saying that.
Saying what?
You're just lying. You're outright lying.
What,
you don't believe
what?
It happened. You don't believe it happened the way it happened in history, right?
Single
you
video.
Dispute, you saying. Dispute the facts.
That's not true.
So, right. so how many got, how many Jews died in the
we've
Holocaust?
Got Stephen, ready to go.
10 trillion, or what's the latest figure?
See,
I don't
this
know.
Is what, 10 this right. is like, yeah, just
I
get
want
this guy
your,
off the air. This
Nick, I want to give yourself. I want you to give yourself a wedgie later tonight.
Yeah, I'm triggered, man. I'm triggered. Here we go.
I want to get. I want you to give yourself.
I'm seething.
I want. I love. By the way, can you clarify your stupid news report? By the way, in the back of your news report, did you notice this, Vic?
What?
There's a like every 3 seconds. There's a shooting star going by. There's this shooting star going by in your animated nighttime city. Drop background.
Is that funny?
It's stupid. It's embarrassing that's what you've got to work with. But would you go on the air and clarify that there was no campaign to get that idiot banned and that there was no begging and there was no seething? I just want you to be straight with your audience.
Said at YouTube support. You tagged them twice. You tagged two different.
Good for me. Good for me. I should get a gold medal.
Did you see where? All right, did you see where?
We have an interesting person on the line. Let's let this.
Give yourself. What's that called when you put your head in the toilet and someone flushes it?
Swirly.
Give yourself a swirly. I'll pay for all the dry cleaning required to clean up afterwards. I'll get you a new haircut. Throw that stupid hat away. You're supporting a tyrant. Goodbye.
Funny
Goodbye,
about
loser.
Being
good guest, fun energy.
Okay.
Okay. That's the final word from Nick.
Wow.
He's welcome anytime.
Wow.
Go from that to an absolute legend.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey. I had to
gears here a little bit.
Steve, we got
to walk away. I had to walk away from the Hunt for Red October for this.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. Welcome, Steve Drozd from the Flaming Lips. This is an honor beyond belief.
Hey, Tim, it's actually Stephen Drozd. I just wanted to correct you on that real quick. So.
Well, we wanted that clarification because Doug is here. Doug Lusenhop, my sidekick here.
Hi, Steve. A huge Flaming Lips fan forever. And yeah, we got to change that last name to something more rocking.
Stephen
Drozd. Think dozed off, but drozed off.
Well, we got Wayne Coyne. Why don't you be like Steven Bills or something?
That's kind of cool.
Coins and
well,
Bills.
Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan, Tim.
Steve,
love your work.
I know, and well, I know. But I am so honored because, first of all, you've done, which we get this out of the way, you all, besides just kind of being mutual fans, you're the composer of the music in the new Moonbase 8 show coming. That
is true. I still don't know what's going on. When is that supposed to air?
Well, you've not been paying attention to my promotional campaign, but it's November 8th.
Okay. All right. I can't wait. Yeah.
Is this the first show that you've scored, or have you done other TV work?
I haven't done any TV work. I've done a couple of soundtracks for some movies that weren't really much, but it's my first foray into television. You know, Jonathan Kreisel invited me to do it, so I couldn't turn it down. You know?
Yeah. Did you enjoy the process, or was it hard and not fun?
It was both. It was really hard, but it was fun. So yeah. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot while I was doing it too. I just did it at home. So I learned a lot as I went along. So yeah, I'm glad I did it.
It's very special. It's always like a leap of faith when you go like, here, score this. We don't really even know what to tell you. Like what, it's such a weird show. It is such a weird tone that it's kind of hard to, it could go in the a really wrong direction, obviously, but it didn't. Well, and it was really great.
Well, Kreisel gave me a playlist of some different things to listen to get some inspiration, you know?
Cool.
So, like, you know, 20 different things ranging from science fiction stuff to, you know, just all the stuff that he likes. So I had some parameters to work with him, but it was a little daunting at first, you know? The first thing you send out, you're like, are they just going to think this is a piece of shit or what?
Yeah. Well, so, it's not for sure. So you guys, the Lips, have put out the new album, American Head.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to it nonstop. Aside from, I've been really into Bruce Springsteen this week too. I've been listening to like the live 75 to 85 record. Totally.
Gotcha.
It's so great. But
Can I say that's odd? Because I fell asleep to the new album last night, the new Lips album.
It's so boring.
And in a dream, a tiny Bruce Springsteen came in and gave me a hug. So it's just oddly enough you said that. So
it's all connected. Yes. Yeah, it's all connected.
It really feels like, I don't know, a return a little bit to the Soft Bulletin. Is that a conscious idea that you guys had?
You could say that. Yeah, when we first started talking about it, Wayne said we should do our Americana record. Like, we're an American band. We've never really kind of embraced that part of our identity, and we kind of went along with that. But yeah, a lot of this stuff texturally, it reminds me of Soft Bulletin stuff. You know, there's more acoustic instruments and stuff like that, and a little less electronic than the last couple of records we did. You know, so.
And if people don't realize this about you, is, and I don't want to slag the other guys, but I will. You are the musical. You're like the Brian Wilson of this group.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. You know, Wayne and I have a pretty comfortable working relationship. But this last record was mostly just the two of us at Dave Fridman's studio. But you know,
so much of the playing on the record, I guess, yeah. Maybe Brian Wilson isn't the best example.
Be My Baby is my favorite song.
I just wanted to get Vic to play some Brian Wilson drums.
I don't like my phone at all.
So much of the playing on the records is you, and you're such a, you know, I think when you first came on the scene with the band, you were the drummer at that point, right?
Yeah, I joined as a drummer. Yeah, in 1991, and. Things just kind of evolved from there. And, you know, Wayne and I got really comfortable with each other pretty quick, writing songs together and trading ideas. And it just kind of evolved from there, you know.
Because it was a very different band when you joined, sonically.
Like, yeah, there was noise, skronk, noise punk, drug damaged, you know, but not really drug users, kind of just some wacky stuff. Some of it amazing. A lot of it overlooked, I think. They were one of my favorite bands when I joined. So it was a weird time for me, you know, to have one of your favorite bands come to the place you're living and ask you if you want to jam and join their group. It was like, wow, this is unreal.
How did that happen? What were you doing, and how did they know who you were?
Well, long story short, I was in Austin with a band that was from Norman, Oklahoma, playing with them, and things weren't working out for us in Austin, so they wanted to move back to Norman. I went with them and followed them back to Norman. Meanwhile, that band broke apart, and Wayne and the Lips lived in Norman at that time. Norman and Oklahoma City are like 20 miles from each other, and they saw a videotape of me playing with that band and tried to track me down and just asked me to join them. So that's the short version.
Much like Doug and Vic, who are just huge fans of mine, came knocking at the door.
Yeah, I saw our tapes
and came to us. That's a good point.
That's what happened.
Hey, how do you feel about the Herman Cain thing? That just is so bizarre, isn't it?
The dying?
Yeah.
Generally. The dying part. I mean, you're so nice to me, and you like said how much you liked that record. It's That is a weird thing I did when you look back and actually listen to it. It's this, it's very kind of lipsy in a way. If it's so, it's like really demented. It's like, I just made it in a week in my, by myself with a few friends helped me out here and there, but.
Yeah, it was a casual Tim and Eric band. Then I stumbled upon that Kane Train thing, and it just blew my mind. Like, who takes the time to do this? You know, so and I've been a fan.
Well, let me.
But, you work with Jonathan Rado too, right?
Rado, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rado, he's, sorry, Rado.
Yeah, well, if we can't pronounce your name, we're not going to be able to pronounce his. Yeah, we were talking about you guys the other day, and how like I don't know if I told you my experience with you guys. I'm in Philadelphia right before the Soft Bulletin comes out, start really getting into you guys. I am seeing you guys at the Trocadero where you have the audience come up with the boom boxes. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Big
you
show.
You saw that show.
I saw that
show. You saw that show?
I was there.
Wow.
And blown mind. Like, and also blown eardrums because it was like the loudest thing of all time. Yeah. And then I was at, I believe I was at the show where you guys had people with the radios and you had everyone listening on the FM radio while you guys
were playing. We had like a little transmitter that just transmitted our master mix out to the headphones if you wanted to wear them, you know. So that was the next year. The 98 was when we did the boombox and 99 was when we did that tour. So that's really cool. You got to see that Philadelphia show. I remember that one at the Trocadero.
Yeah, he had, if people can imagine this, they did, well, this was kind of, was it before Zarika or was it sort of concurrent with that? Like,
it was sort of concurrent. Zarika came out in the fall of 97, and that's right when we started doing these boombox shows, you know.
So you guys would, just for my audience, because my audience might not know anything about this, but you guys would have about, how many boomboxes did you have? 20 or
we
something?
Had, 20 on each side, so 40 total. And then Michael, our bass player, would run the main mix, which is loops and stuff like that.
Right.
And then on each cassette was a different set of sounds, and I would conduct the left 20 boombox people, and Wayne would conduct the right 20 boombox people with just volume. We direct them turning up and down their volume, and just some crazy stuff happened.
It was so fucking cool. And the audience is, they're up there like they're in the band all of a sudden. They're playing them, you know. Was that the whole show, or did you guys do it as sort of like the second half? Like, you must have played just like a traditional show too.
No, it was just because we were kind of in a, you know, we were in flux right then because our guitar player, Ronald, had left the group in 96. So it was just the three of us.
Right.
And we couldn't really tour as a band yet. We hadn't worked it out. So those were just boombox shows. Once we started touring for the Soft Bulletin, there was no more boombox shows. But they were never mixed together. It was boombox shows, and then we just stopped doing that, started touring as a rock band again. So
what? I have a weird question because I get a little nerdy about this. Why was – there was one song in the Soft Bulletin, the Spider Bite song, that wasn't on like the UK version of it or something. There's like this weird inconsistency where that song wasn't on a version of the record. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I thought that Spider Bite was on both versions, but the song Slow Motion was on the UK version, but not the American version. Well, why can I remember that? I'm tripping. Yeah,
maybe I think you're right. Here's my memory. I could be totally wrong. It's not, the Spider Bite song isn't on one of the versions. And the reason I think that, and it's in my brain, is that I love that song so much, and I felt guilty or bad that I was dumb, because if it's the one song they took off the record, it was that one. I'm like, did those guys not like that song? And am I lame for liking that one?
Well, if it was that song, it wasn't because we didn't like the song. It was just a packaging thing with Warner's and Warner's UK and all that. You know, that kind of stuff goes.
I want to know about the bite. He got the bite, right?
We want to know about the bite. We all want to know about the bite.
This is a weird story. I feel kind of weird telling it now that I have young children that look up stuff on the internet. But I really thought it was a spider bite at first. I don't know if you can see my hand there. There's a big scar right there.
So you're the spider bite victim.
I'm the spider bite dude, yeah. Oh. So I really thought it was a spider bite at first because I've been cleaning out my garage and it just seemed like that's what it was.
Right.
I go to the hospital and it turns out it's actually an abscess from where I injected something.
Okay.
And it got way out of control. But I thought it was a spider bite at first. When I found out the truth, I didn't tell Wayne, and he wrote this really sweet song.
Oh boy.
After we recorded the song, I was like, I have to tell you something, but you know, because he wrote the song and it's really sweet. You know, it's really heartfelt. He meant it. You know, he means it. And I told him the truth, and he's like, well, that's really pathetic, but, you know, I can accept
that. It is what it is.
Some people think it really is a spider bite, and some people know the actual truth of it. So it's pretty twisted little story.
It is. I mean, I don't want to get into this too much, but it did occur to me listening to the new record. There's a lot of, there's a heavy drug presence on the record in terms of like subject matter. And that, how does that make you feel? Is that something you're comfortable with? And it feels like it's coming from Wayne, at least from kind of a nostalgic place, or like, just like, he seems to be writing about his youth. Maybe not. Maybe I'm reading too much. But is that, I just could imagine it could be uncomfortable, but maybe it's not.
Well, we got together and traded stories about our older brothers. You know, his family had 6 kids. Mine had 5. He had older brothers that did drugs. My 2 older brothers did crazy drugs, went to prison, all kinds of stuff. So singing the subject matter on this record, we're singing more about other people than my own personal experience of it. So it feels a little different. It feels more like storytelling than, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm stuck in this thing, you know? So
the line about Johnny's still a greaser and Tommy gone away to war. I fucking love that. That's my kind of deal.
James is my oldest brother. James got busted and didn't give a fuck anymore. So that's about my oldest brother. So.
Oh man, I'm writing a song right now that is like, because I'm, you know, I put out a record and it's all about fear of death and all this existential stuff. And I'm not this place. I'm sure you've been there, and Wayne's been, you guys have been there, where you're like, what do I have to say now? I don't know what I have to even talk about. Like, have I played all my cards? And I started writing this song that was like clearly about this guy I remember from high school. Who wasn't doing too well. And I was like, I could do one of those kind of, you know, records, a little bit of a look back, because I haven't looked back for a while. And that sort of is like a fun exercise to go.
I have so many great ideas.
I haven't thought about my high school friends, or I haven't thought about where I grew up too much in a while. And so, I think it's good to look back and think about, you know, use that as for some inspiration.
To do a poker record, Tim. Cause I wanted to ask, you played in a poker band growing up, right?
Steven?
Yeah.
My dad played in many, many bands. He was one of the very first white rock and roll bands in Texas in 1955 in Houston. And then he had Czech polka and waltz bands. He played in country bands. And when I was 10, I started playing drums in his polka and waltz band, and then played in his country band. So I'm familiar with the beer barrel polka and stuff like that.
Nice.
I think it's fascinating, the polka, the German influence on the Mexican music which I hear a lot here where I live. I almost
very similar. Yeah.
Well, because they must have, the Germans, I think, went to Mexico in the early 1900s or the 1800s.
I don't know
the history. And my headphones unplugged. 1 second. Sorry. Okay. Wow.
Microphone.
Dropbox.
Well, you know, it's like the Germans and Czechs all, you know, migrated down to South Texas, and some of them went as far as, you know, what is Mexico now, what was South, you know, that region. So they all kind of combine and all kind of make sense in that way.
What's your process with when you're writing music? Do you have a little home studio? It looks like you're in kind of a home studio. Is that, would you consider?
This is my little place here. Yeah, I've got drum kits set up. I got a bunch of keyboards. All my guitars are here, and I just use like a little Pro Tools thing with a universal audio interface thing.
I have the same thing.
It's not set up right now because I'm kind of been changing my studio around and moving things around, so I'm just going directly into the computer right now. But I use it for just about everything. So it's really, it's almost like they help you not sound like shit, you know?
Right.
So.
And are you in a like promotional? Like, I know you're doing the show just because we're pals. We'll become stronger pals after this. But are you in like a, we're pushing the record hard? And has that been like, there it is. There it is. are you in like the, you're doing as much, I mean, it's hard now to be able to try to promote your record. You guys are not, I saw you guys did a show with everybody in the bubbles.
Man, they talked about it on the Today Show. I mean, ahoy polloi, the Today Show talks about it.
That is good. You have made it, friend.
We're trying to devise a way where we could actually play a show and have it be safe. And those bubbles really are a good seal. You know, the process is getting into the bubbles, and then you have to disinfect them after. But Wayne's working on a procedure.
He's obsessed with these bubbles, man. He's a
maniac.
You must be like, Wayne, again with the bubbles now? I'm getting into another bubble. And he's like, well, finally, there's a reason for these bubbles. with the pandemic.
Yeah, it seems like now it seems like a really great idea, you know. But but he does like, you know, Rolling Stone and Spin and all the big, you know, publications or whatever you want to call them. You know,
he's the face. He's kind of like the front man face. Well, he loves doing it.
Yeah, he's so good at it too. So I like to do this kind of stuff where, you know, it's just people that I love and I admire their work and whatever. But he does most of the big, you know, the bigger production things. So, but I guess we're officially in this mode of trying to promote the record. But it's a, you know, it's a weird time, and you don't want to be insensitive about the shit that people are going through. So you have to kind of walk this line of like, here's my new stuff, check it out, isn't it great? Meanwhile, we're living in a shitscape, you know. So it's kind of, you know, it's a line you have to walk. So
but you guys are getting, you guys, I saw, have gotten a little political. You've done some fundraisery kind of things, get out the vote kind of things. Is that a easy thing for you guys to reconcile, and you don't feel alienating to, you know, to people, or you just feel passionate?
It really pisses me off when people are like, you know, stick to the jokes, Heidegger, or you know, stick to the music, dude. It's like me telling you, I think you're a great craftsman and woodworker, but keep your politics to yourself, fucker. You know what I mean?
So, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy that has thoughts. And sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong.
So when people say that, I'm like, I really don't give a shit. You know, if I lose a fan because they're, you know, they're Trumpers or something, I really don't give a shit. So,
Yeah, that guy's, that's how I am. That's how
he's
I am. Me, you, Jim Gaffigan. We're on the edge. I love Jim.
We're carrying the flag. Yeah, we're carrying the flag.
I called Jim out a little bit just because I felt like the past couple of days I was getting hammered by these trolls, and I was like, you know, it's great Jim Gaffigan's out there, but me and Vic are like literally in these trenches getting like fired on, and whatever reason, I was just feeling bad. I'll be honest with you, I was feeling depressed. But he wrote me a very nice note saying like, I'm with, you know, hang in there, and that kind of stuff. So.
Well, when I logged on, you know, just all the comments that are coming in as Nick Fuentes was doing his spiel or whatever, it was like, Jesus, man, you deal with a lot more toxic people than I ever have to deal with. So my hat's off to you, you know.
Well, I don't know whatever I ever did.
Stick to the jokes, Heidegger. Damn it.
But he doesn't even like my jokes. That's the problem. He doesn't think I'm funny. So what am I?
You deplatformed funnier comedians than you. You're not funny.
And I'm irrelevant. So how do I deplatform things if I'm irrelevant? I don't know how to do it. I wish I could control everything. Believe me. I should be in charge. I put the Flaming Lips on the top of the charts.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life was, it's a line you had in one of the Moonbase episodes. I watched it. I literally laughed out loud at least five times. I think it's the last episode where you're talking about, you guys are having this heart to heart, and you say something like, all you need is love. And Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want. Or the Beatles, you kind of flip, you get those two confused. Yeah. One of the funniest stuff I've ever
I
heard.
Confuse all you need is love with what you can't always get what you want.
Was that written, or was that something you just got off the cuff or something?
I think that was improvised. Yeah, I think that was
improvised. Oh my gosh, so funny. I hope people get to see that just for at least that line. it's good. Do you know if there's any future for the show? There's like a second season or anything?
We have to put it out and wait, but the Showtime folks, they seem to love it. They're going to do a good job of putting out there, I think. And if everything works out, hopefully people check it out and like it. And I would be happy to go in the dome with the boys again.
It was really timely too, right when Space Force seemed to be coming about, you know.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, but we are perfect. Talking to John Williams because he's expressed interest in doing the second season score. I just want you to know that, you know.
Well, I heard it was between Hans Zimmer and John Williams duking it out of who gets to do it. So.
And the 90s Nails guy.
Yeah, and what's his name? Trent Reznor. I love that Trent Reznor though, with him and the other guy, Atticus.
For the Vietnam series,
yeah,
I thought they did a great job in that stuff. I really did. I'm not really a Nine Inch Nails fan, but I thought that was great.
Me too. So. And the Social Network, soundtrack is really cool.
Yeah, those guys work good together.
What else? Did you have a question, Doug? I forgot if I interrupted you.
No, I did not.
No, I just I can't think. I mean, the other funny thing about you guys is you're still on Warner Brothers, right? Like, you guys got this major label deal when, you know, that the kind of stuff you're doing was very popular. It became very popular. You know, I'm thinking of like REM was kind of blowing up, and other like small indie bands kind of like got this big opportunity.
Yeah.
And then you made a couple quality records. But there was a time with Yoshimi, well, you guys were fucking like about as big as you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, you were huge. Well,
we have a theory that when times were changing and bands were getting axed to Warner Brothers, right at that time, we had such a low profile that we were able to just kind of hide under the desk and not get canned, you know?
Yeah.
Because we lips into others in 1990. Before Nirvana hit and all that stuff, but you know, bands were getting signed left and right even before Nirvana exploded, you know.
Yeah.
And then their first record came out and it just tanked, it did nothing.
Yeah.
And the second record, that's the first time I recorded with them, and it did pretty well. It had Chino Use Jelly on it, you know, and that bought us some time.
And then got a nice little single out there, like almost like it was like a novelty single, right?
It really was, yeah. Like Beavis and Butthead, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then our next record, Clouds Taste Metallic, came out and did really, really poorly. And right at that time, our guitar player quit, and it seemed like things were going to fall apart right then, but that's when we kind of regrouped and made Zyreka and the Salt Bulletin and had a whole new life, you know?
Yeah.
So
how important is Dave Friedman to your, like, is he just like a real collaborator? Like you would say about George Martin or somebody like that. Like he's one of the keys.
Yeah. On some things he is. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes the process is I'll do stuff here, take it to Wayne's, do stuff there. We take it to him and do the final product, the shining up, you know.
Yeah.
But then some of the songs are written from the ground up at his studio, and he has a hand in helping us, like, well, you should shorten that melody or stuff like that. So
is there a cool vibe there? Is it like a place you feel really comfortable and you just like feel like home there a little bit?
Almost too much. Yeah. We're the first band there in March of or April of 1997. And we've been going back and forth. It's in Western New York, so it's a bit of a drive if you drive, but we've done that so many times, I think I could do it blindfolded. But it really is. But he has he just got this knee board that is like the cost three times of my house. It's insane. He's got an incredible studio, so, and he's just the master. Yeah,
and you're
so
you're in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I'm in Oklahoma City. Wayne's here, and Michael, our bass player, lives here. And
you guys just run that town.
Wayne runs the town. Yeah,
really. So I gotta get down there. I could come down there and just hang.
Hell yeah!
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do things like that. You know. Thank God
I'm a yeah. Have you flown at all? I haven't flown since this started.
I did. Have not flown. No, I've done a couple of road trips. So yeah, maybe like next year or something. Doug and I, and maybe Vic. We'll see. It's like, oh, I went down there. We hung out for a couple days. We had dinner, and it was fun. And Steve and I went off and made a record. We made this thing. It's about Mike Huckabee, and it's pretty stupid,
oh
but we had
God.
Fun doing it. I mean, wouldn't that be a fun story?
We could do some sending files back and forth, you know, to the internet, so we could do something like that. So.
I know we could, but I want to get down there and just have that memory.
Hey, you know, Oklahoma City, since we got the Thunder, Oklahoma City has just been this crazy renaissance, you know, restaurants.
Oh, really?
And now we have the pandemic, but before that hit, you know, new restaurants, new bars, a whole new convention center, all this crazy stuff.
I love convention centers.
It's sure a sign of success when you get the convention center.
Let's rent it out.
Yeah, there you go.
To record.
So,
nice.
Yeah, we're doing this great kind of this whole thing happening in Oklahoma City. And I think, you know, Wayne is definitely one of the faces of this city for sure. So it's pretty fun. I get recognized every once in a while, you know. So,
well, I just want to send. We had such an acrimonious, weird show because of the nastiness, but between you and Dr. Greger, it's actually been very beautiful and very positive.
I just want to quick say thank you because you've gotten me through a lot of music or a lot of times with your music, and I saw you guys. I think it was in like 2001. At the Orpheum in Boston. It was like the most amazing show. And you guys played a set that was like, you're like surrounded in sound. It was so loud. And then Beck came out then. That's when you guys were back in Beck. I know that it probably wasn't, I think there were some like rough times between you guys and Beck from what I've read. But we're not, not to go negative.
That's for another
time.
You know,
I know.
I can tell the whole story in 30 seconds, okay?
Oh, great. Here we go.
Yoshimi came out. Beck came to see us in L.A., said, hey, I want you guys to be my backing band in this fall tour. And we said, fuck yes, let's do it. So he got us to open for him and then be his band for the price of one.
You're like the
one,
band with Bob Dylan in the 70s, like the backing.
Exactly. Yeah. We did our show, which was 30 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever, regrouped, and then we were his backing band. So he really got two bands for the price of one. So he's pretty wily that way, but it wasn't very much fun for us.
I saw you guys during the Clouds Taste Metallic tour.
Oh,
Ronald was still in the band at the Double at the Double Door in Chicago.
What about this? What about in the Soft Bulletin when Wayne would come out and he's got that white suit and he has the blood pack and he'd hit it over his head and the blood would come down? That is, you guys are beyond the music and the, you know, the sonics, the theatricalness.
Yeah, I saw that at Ribfest in Chicago.
The theatricalness of it is so great. It was always so great and always so inspiring. all the shit you guys have done is super inspirational for me. I know for Eric, for all the people I work with. So thank you. It's an honor. I'm getting emotional speaking with you.
No, it really means a lot. I think people think we don't want to hear it, but we're always happy to hear that anybody likes our music or we mean anything to anyone. So I take it as a very high compliment and I appreciate it. So, yeah.
All right, Steve, I'll let you go and we'll talk soon.
Let's stay in touch. Okay.
All the best.
Bye guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh,
thank you
very much. Why do I get emotional?
Well, Flaming Lips.
I know. I almost started tearing up there.
It is crazy. And he's such a nice guy. That's what I love. I love when I find these people out there. Like, I don't think I would have that kind of relationship with Billy Crystal.
I thought you were going to say Billy Joel.
Or Billy Joel.
I kind of wanted to ask what happened to Ronald, but I didn't want to.
I had this. Oh, I heard this funny story the other day. This guy, somebody was telling me, so I was at this party, and this woman was telling me the story, and she says, I was talking to this guy, and he says, oh, you know, my wife, she mentioned Billy Joel, and he goes, oh my God, my wife loves Billy Joel. She loves Billy Joel. She can't get enough. And then later she runs into the wife. Oh, I heard you like Billy Joel. She's like, yeah, I guess. the husband has the completely wrong impression of the enthusiasm for Billy Joel. Mikey Campman, is he on board?
Or when people are your biggest fan and then they call you Eric.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're like, I love you so much. I'm your biggest fan. Whatever happened to you? Are you?
Oh, I have a funny story.
I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. I'm doing 19 things that you haven't. What are you doing? What's your story, Doug?
I'll have to wait till
after hours.
Maybe not even Doug, on that record. But Doug.
You mean it's the record?
We'll talk about it before after hours. Then you
is Mikey on? Mikey, are you on?
I don't want to make anyone here. Cool. Right, yeah.
Great, our closer, Mikey Campman. Remember the
closer.
Remember the closer. Yep.
Can you just do it now?
The closer was I think it's my.
Please don't cut my mic. Please don't cut my mic.
In the woods.
Could we say that the closer is my idea? Maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's yours. But we did a tour. Few tours back, and Mikey's always on our tours. And at the end, we had a joke that's like, and now for our closer, Mikey Campman, and like a tour would have a closer, not an opener. And that's a funny idea.
I'm still recovering from the trauma of.
Because the idea would be that you'd start telling your jokes, and then we turn the house music on and like turn the lights up, and you need entertainment on your way out.
Let's get Mikey. So stupid. Probably like 10 shows into the tour, you left my mic on for the first 10 shows, and I would still find ways, like when the music dipped low, to like maybe try to get a joke in there, like a line.
Yeah.
And then you guys were like, no, we're not having that.
And I used to come out.
And then you just fully cut the mic.
And I used to come out in just my underwear and pull you off the stage, right? As one last big funny gag. Nick Fuentes doesn't think I'm funny, but what do you think? What's your opinion of my humor levels?
Well, did you ask Steven if Drozd? He likes Drozd, if he likes Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
No, I didn't. If you were listening to the show, you would have known I didn't ask him that. Shame on you. Mikey, it's the end of our show. Would you stick around and join us on After Hours to show us a clip of your new short, Shell Jeff?
Of course. Yeah, please.
You look like you're in a beautiful place. Scenic, beyond belief. Thank you to all my haters. And all my lovers,
amen.
We worship the ground you walk on. I will carry you across this river of life. Music, please. I will carry you across this river of life.
Is it time for the outro music?
Yes, it's 11:30.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Mikey on After Hours.
Join us on After Hours. Mikey. Go to patreon.com/officehourslive. I apologize if anybody was offended by anything said in the chat. We don't stand for or stand by any of the negativity expressed there. Thank you to Dr. Greger. Check out nutritionfacts.org. Flaming Lips' new album gets a 10 out of 10 from me, American Head. And Skinner's shirt is, where do we get the Skinner shirt? Officialofficehours.com?
Yes, sir.
Join me and far and wide next Friday, but we'll do a show next Thursday, of course. But we'll watch the hour comedy special as well. Thank you all for watching. I wish everybody only the best and tremendous success.
hobbit hats. Each vehicle is a mother muscle train. Only the hobbit hat can be used. Each part can massage 30 seconds. And then the third, do it 3 times to go.
Not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.